This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, John Nolan. How are you, and how are things in Fort Wayne, Indiana these days?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Matt. Thanks a lot for the chance to connect with you. And if only I had someone to negotiate on my behalf, maybe I'd be joining you guys in the sun rather than chilly weather. We're in the 30s here in Indiana, but ready or not, we'll be playing ball soon.
Yeah. Now, I have spent some time in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I broadcast Gulls hockey here in San Diego many years ago. And there was a year where the Gulls played the Fort Wayne Comets for the IHL championship. Fort Wayne won it in four straight. So the Comets celebrated at our expense. But I did spend a week there, and I thought it was nice. I had a good time.
Yeah, I know the immortal Dave Marcus has shared that trip with me in the past. And yeah, for listeners right now, in case you need some useless information, here in the United States, you have the original six in the NHL, right? And then you got the Hershey Bears, and then it's the Fort Wayne Comets, or the next longest running professional hockey organization.
There you go.
For sports fans who are familiar with Doc Emmerich, who of course was the voice of hockey for so many years before he retired recently. Yeah. He grew up here in the Fort Wayne area, and the Fort Wayne Comets were what introduced Doc to sports and got him started in his career. So
there you go.
Fort Wayne Comets, the more you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Fort Wayne Comets, by the way, last bit of trivia, Comets spelled with a K.
Oh, wow. And crazier.
I don't think I ever figured that out, and it really didn't interest me enough to delve into it further. John, let's talk about the Padres and some of these young players that you've had the privilege of seeing play. Just in general, do you feel like the young Padres, the organization, is as well stocked as most other people seem to think it is?
Yeah, for sure. And I've actually been out here in Fort Wayne with the Tin Caps since 2013, and so between the Comets and their long history of success hockey wise and the Tin Caps, who play at Parkview Field, which a lot of times gets rated as the top ballpark in minor league baseball. It's considered like the number one minor league sports city in the country. And it's been a privilege to see so many top prospects. Admittedly, we had that stretch there where we were seeing all these guys make their major league debuts with other organizations after they had turned into assets in the trade market. So, a stretch like this week here, seeing guys like Jackson Merrill and Graham Pauly, who we had literally last summer. So not only for them to make it here from the high A level to the show is awesome in itself, but the rapid timeline is great too. And I've got no doubt that in due time, there's going to be a bunch more that we saw here in Fort Wayne not long ago, because I think that the Padres are first off, you just got to credit the scouting group, especially with the 2022 draft class that they had, even the year before that, which produced Merrill. But a lot of guys who are developing well, and not only the scouting group but the player development staff too, doing their part in grooming these guys to contribute to a club that obviously here has playoff and beyond expectations.
We're talking to John Nolan here. He's the Fort Wayne Tin Caps play-by-play man on 97.3 The Fan. And so we were texting a little bit earlier about some of the different prospects that you've seen. And like you said, you've seen a lot of them. You've seen Ethan Salas. You've seen Jackson Merrill, Robbie Snelling, Dylan Lesko. But Jackson Merrill's the kind of hot topic here in San Diego right now. And you got to see him up close and personal and kind of out of the spotlight. What kind of player is Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, I think a lot of the scouting reports now are accurate. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is just his ability to get the bat on the ball. And I saw someone had shared stats from spring training, and I know it's only spring training, but comparing him to other top-tier prospects around the game from other organizations, he had by far the lowest swing and miss rate of any top prospect in big league spring training. And that goes right along with what we saw to him in the minors last year. And especially when you look back actually at the arc of his story in the minors last year, kind of inexplicably, there were two different weeks in the first month or so of the season in which he got a virus. So he was just physically not 100% in the early part last year, not to mention having to play in the cold of the Midwest. So through the first month or so, the numbers were not what we expected. I think actually when you step back at it now, and especially when you consider some of the conversation that people have about having him, you know, in the deep end of the big leagues right now, how will he respond when he faces adversity and, you know, inevitably at some point goes through a slump? You know, there's obviously a difference between going through a slump against major league pitching and going through a slump against minor league pitching. But, you know, he kind of had a bit of that humble pie last year, and a testament to the kind of character that he has, that he overcame that and he went on to, you know, put up those gaudy numbers that you'd expect out of a top prospect in the minors. But I think, again, the thing that really just jumps out is it got to the point that he just was not striking out. And so if he wasn't barreling the ball up early in an AB, there'd be situations where, you know, he'd spoil those borderline pitches and, you know, lay off borderline pitches when they were out of the zone. And, you know, it might have taken 11 or 12 pitches, but he'd find a way to get on base. And so really steady, actually. You know, I know Tony is traveling back right now. I think out of any prospect, and I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but out of any prospects that that I've seen as far as a left-handed bat going through that old 5.5 hole, I mean, that was Jackson Merrill. He's not a guy who's usually trying to do too much. So he's not – I know he almost hit a home run today, but usually not swinging for the fences per se. He'll just, you know, if the pitch on the outer part of the plate, he's got no problem you know, adjusting to what he's seeing and just not going to single through the opposite side. And so I think that, you know, that's gonna benefit him and hopefully prevent an early slump now that he's up in the show.
Yeah, first two hits of his career today for Jackson Merrill, and 2-for-5. And as you said, hitting the ball with authority. John Nolan, seeing all these young Padre players now. Ethan Salas, I mean, he's gotten a lot of attention. He's still like 12 years old. I mean, I know he's a little old. Not much.
He's 17, I think.
I know he's 17, but I mean, are we seeing things from him that lead us to believe that he is the can't-miss prospect that people say he is?
Yeah, I think with him, it's probably more the intangibles because of the fact that he's been so young, still 17 right now, and you know, last year playing for the most part against guys who are closer to their mid-20s. I know he had a great run at the single-A level down the road in Lake Elsinore, in which, you know, the numbers did kind of pop out of the box score. But, you know, as a catcher, I think it's more so about just the mental part of the game for him and how advanced he is there. And, you know, every pitcher that I've talked to in the minor league system that's worked with him, you know, they just rave about his ability calling the game and, you know, what he can do defensively as a catcher to make things better for them. And I think he understands the importance and value of cultivating relationships with these guys. And again, that's part of why he had the quick ascension to Double A last year, because that's where a lot of the top pitching prospects who, you know, might get a call up at some point this year, or if not, then perhaps next year. And yeah, just really kind of fostering chemistry with them, and yeah, just carries himself as a complete professional, and part of byproduct of the fact that his own father played minor league baseball, and he's got an older brother in the minors and an uncle, I think a grandfather, and basically everyone in his family's played professional baseball. So he's grown up in that professional setting and environment. And I think a lot of fans know this by now, but just a reminder, even though he technically was considered the top international prospect in baseball last year out of Venezuela, spent a considerable part of his childhood in Florida. So that bilingual piece is another, you know, pretty critical one in helping, you know, the quick progress for him too. And well, we didn't have him for too long in Fort Wayne, so I can't say I got to know him on a personal level exceptionally well. But, you know, in that short time, I learned that even though he was just a 17-year-old, he's kind of an old soul. Like, you know, he's not someone who's got like a flashy sports car these days. I mean, I don't think he even really has dipped into his bonus money yet, but I know he is a fan of classic cars, and he's pretty knowledgeable about cars from decades ago. So it's just little stuff like that that, you know, makes him different. Again, you know, how many of us as an adult sometimes struggle even to be on time, let alone early, and he is consistently, you know, the first one in to the ballpark for early practice, and like the last one to leave, not in a rush to go do anything else, but just really focused on trying to be the best player that he can be.
Talking to John Nolan here, play-by-play man for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps on 97.3 The Fan. We've seen a lot of players, or at least not a lot, but multiple players coming from AA, skipping AAA, and going right to the big leagues. And since you're calling AA, and these guys are going from where you're at to the big leagues, why do you think it's much easier for these guys to skip AAA?
I don't know if it's necessarily easier for them to skip AAA, but just the reality of it here in this day and age is that like the geographic environment in not only El Paso, Texas, where the Padres AAA affiliate, the Chihuahuas, is, but also the majority of the teams in that Pacific Coast League play at elevation. And so it goes both ways for pitchers. You know, they can execute pitches and induce what should be a routine fly ball, and all of a sudden, thanks to the elements, it becomes a home run. And so, you know, not that there haven't been any guys who have pitched their way through the Pacific Coast League, but, you know, for some guys, it can really throw them off. You know, the numbers that are not representative. I think, you know, last year, Pedro Avila was an example of that, right? Like, he did not have good numbers necessarily in AAA, and, you know, he held his own during his stints pitching in big league action. And then, you know, on the opposite side of things, maybe hitters can develop some bad habits because, yeah, they don't even have to have their A swing to get a ball in the air. And next thing you know, you know, that elevation is turning it into a home run. And especially, you know, when you lock in here on what Mike Schilt and the Padres are trying to do and, you know, be a team that executes situationally, you're not seeing a lot of those types of games in the PCL, where more often than not it can turn into something of a home run derby. So I think for that reason, that's definitely an aspect of why some guys are skipping AAA. It's not because you know, there's no value at all to playing at that level, but you know, some of the things there, because of the elements, make it skewed. And then also, I think when you step back and you look at sort of the roster makeup of AAA teams, that's a lot of what I suppose we would consider the 4A players, right? Guys who've kind of been back and forth from the big leagues and are more veteran. And obviously, it's really important to have guys like, I figure this year, a Matthew Batten will be starting off there, a Kevin Plawecki, guys who have proven that they can contribute at the big league level. But you know, when you're talking about sort of the core of the prospects, younger guys, in a way, it's a little bit better maybe to keep them together, you know, at the AA stage.
We've got about a minute left, but I want to spend it on Graham Pauly, because I don't think a lot of people really know a lot about him. He hit 16 home runs for Fort Wayne last year. He's on this big league roster. He's kind of going to be coming off the bench, at least for now, pinch hitting. But what can he do, and what should we look for?
Yeah, so Graham Pauly, first thing that just really stands out to me about him is the type of person that he is. I remember meeting him when he first arrived in Fort Wayne last year, and just like a really unassuming guy, but really polite, really respectful. So whether he's talking to a former major leaguer, maybe on the coaching staff in the clubhouse, or he's talking to a fan, he's like the exact same guy. And I had the chance to be out at Peoria in spring training last week before the big league team left, and talking with Graham, he was 100% the same exact, just extremely polite, professional, respectful person. So I think it says a lot, because the time in between, he was the Padres minor league player of the year, but, you know, no ego whatsoever from that. The guy has proven that he can hit. He made a modification to his swing midway through last year that caused him to launch the ball more. So after being a really steady singles hitter for anyone who saw him in Lake Elsinore last year, and maybe a guy who's driving the ball to the gaps for some doubles, but all of a sudden last year unlocked the ability to get the ball over the wall. I'll also say, I know Keith Law for The Athletic, he had a pretty harsh review of Graham's defense. I thought that was totally out of line Not saying that Graham is going to be confused with Manny playing at third base, but I think you're talking about an above-average athlete. So he's played all around the infield, even a little bit in the outfield. I trust in both, like, his IQ. I mean, he's got a degree from Duke in their economics program. I think between his IQ and his athleticism, he can more than hold his own in the field, too.
Well, John, you can certainly hold more than your own.
Yeah,
talking about these young Padre players, I know that our fans enjoyed hearing about it. And as we go along, I want to definitely catch up with you and track the progress of these younger players who eventually we'll see here in San Diego. Thanks for your time today. Enjoy the season. Best of luck to the Tin Caps.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys and your coverage of the entire Padre system. And for me in the Eastern time zone, thanks to everyone on staff for you guys who help me out with my insomnia when it's late night or done with the minor league games. And I'm just locked into the station here streaming online. So keep up the great work. And yeah, hope to be able to share more stories about guys making the quick rise through the minor league system here soon.
We'll be ready. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you again. John Nolan right there, the play-by-play voice of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.